of our God. The odds were stacked a bit against the good guys. For every one good guy, there were 450 bad guys. The odds at the Alamo were 1 in 20. One for one Texan for every 20 Mexicans. One against four for every 450. I think it's one of those instances where you could look and say, the enemy isn't, their strength isn't just something we perceive from afar. But when you're facing those type of odds where each man has to kill 450 in order just to end up with it being a neutral slate at the end of the battle, there's real strength there as far as the enemy's concerned. Not only real strength, but victory almost at that point seems inevitable. There's just too many of them. Unless, of course, their strength isn't really that strong. Peter, on that Monday, Thursday evening, as they were eating the Passover meal, in essence, boasted of his strength, didn't he? A number of times, he assured Jesus that he would never not only deny knowing Jesus, but he was willing to go to jail with Jesus. He's willing to die with Jesus. And so would have nothing of it when Jesus told him, before the rooster crows twice this evening, you're going to disown me and deny me three times. And it's then that we find Peter in the courtyard of the high priest being confronted by some young teenage servant girls. And before that third denial is off the tip of his tongue, before that third lie rests in the ears of those who are listening, Peter hears that crowing rooster, and everything comes crashing down, doesn't it? That perceived strength he had just a few hours earlier was shown to be really no strength at all. The guilt that must have flooded his heart as he knew Jesus spoke the truth, as he came to grips with what he had done and how he had denied knowing his Savior, the sorrow that must have been running through his veins. We're told here that he broke down and wept. In one of the other gospel accounts, we're told he ran from the high priest's courtyard and wept bitterly. Guilt that Peter would carry along with him. Peter wasn't nearly as strong as he thought he was. And that sin revealed his weakness. Peter isn't that much different than you and me, is he? I suppose on Sunday mornings at 11:30, we're probably feeling pretty strong. Having just fed our faith in Bible class and then in worship. And yet it doesn't take long, perhaps before mid-thought, mid-word, mid-action, all of that comes crashing down. Perhaps we leave church or we leave our personal study in the morning feeling renewed and rejuvenated, and it doesn't take long for Satan and temptation to come crashing back into our lives and in essence bring us back down to earth. And just as quickly as it happened for Peter, it happens for you and I. That our weakness is revealed. that all that guilt comes crashing back down onto our shoulders, and we're left with questions of, why in the world did I do that? I know better. How in the world did that happen? We're left in the same spot Peter was, sorrowing over sin, knowing that the guilt of that sin will probably carry with or be carried with us the rest of the day, maybe longer. And having that feeling of unworthiness, especially if it's a sin we've done before and perhaps promised wouldn't happen again. That's what sin does to us, doesn't it? Shows us for exactly who we are. Makes us see just how unworthy we are for God's love. How unworthy we are for God to show any sort of mercy toward us. The answer to those feelings, the answer to Peter's guilt and sorrow was standing only a few feet away. So while Peter's account is recorded for us in the Gospels, what was really more important was happening just a few feet away from Peter. Jesus, in perceived weakness, had been arrested, falsely accused, and was now being beaten and led to Pontius Pilate, and in a matter of hours would be strung up on a pole. And on that pole, he would take Peter's denials, all of Peter's pride and boastfulness, and die for him. And on that same cross, he took all of your sin. All of those pet sins, all those sins that you were left shaking your head or scratching your head saying, "How? I don't even understand why I did that." He takes them all to the cross in our place, and God punishes him instead of us. You see, while Jesus may have been perceived as being weak because he was being killed, it was in that perceived weakness that we see our Savior's strength. That he did it for you and me. That he forgives all of our sins. Takes all the guilt of those sins off of our shoulders and leaves them at the cross. Really, perceived strengths and perceived weaknesses aren't really all that important when it comes to our Savior, is it? When we see what our Savior did, then we begin to see real strength. In fact, we begin to receive real strength. Strength that comes from being forgiven, from guilt, sorrow being taken off of our shoulders. Real strength that comes from my eyes being opened to see a Savior who died for me. And ears that get to hear that good news each and every day from God's Word. Strength that comes to me through God's Word and the sacraments. Strength that renews me and enables me to fight tonight's temptations and tomorrow's battles. Real strength. Gideon, as he went to fight the Midianites, may have had one of those moments where he scratched his head and said, "What have I gotten myself into?" He was leading an army of 300 Israelites against 135,000 Midianites. 450-1. But the battle didn't depend on Gideon's strength. It depended on the Lord. Your battles against sin and temptation don't so much rely on your strength but on the Savior who strengthens you and the Savior who's forgiven you. And it's that lesson that we learn from the Lamb this evening, that our strength comes from our Savior. Amen.